I want you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. We're going to consider this morning passage from verse 26, but will you look at verse 28? And coming in, the angel Gabriel said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." And the next verse says that Mary was very perplexed at the statement, and she kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. And then the angel Gabriel said to her, verse 30, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." And when she was told in the following verses about the workings of the Holy Spirit in her womb, for the conception of God coming in human flesh, she was even further perplexed. How can this be, since I am a virgin? And so the angel explains the work of the Holy Spirit to her. And Mary in verse 38 says, "Behold, the handmaid," in some translations, "bondslave" in some, but rightly translated it is the female slave. Slave, not servant. One was abandoned her rights. "Behold, the female slave of the Lord. Do what you want. I'm willing." That's the paraphrase of what she is saying. In verse 46, in her song of praise, Magnificat, from which we get the word magnify. So she's just magnifying worship to God. She starts by saying, "My soul doth magnify the Lord. And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." And that whole hymn is what we're going to also consider. Please be seated. As I look back on all my years of studying and also as part of my study preparing sermons, there has not been a more overwhelming time. Been a more overwhelming time than preparing to speak about Mary. Hers is a fascinating true story. In all of human history, she is the single greatest woman. Protestants have been afraid to acknowledge her, for fear of being accused of making the same mistake as the Roman Catholics. And among the Protestants, evangelicals have been even more afraid of speaking or elevating her too much, because they might be criticized for being wrong. But it's very interesting to note that the great reformers, like Luther, Zwingli, even John Wycliffe and John Calvin, had erroneous views about Mary almost Roman Catholic. Somehow they didn't get it right, the reformers. Now do we throw the reformers away from our respect? No, we don't. They were fighting other battles. So we might be shocked when we read what the reformers had to say about their understanding of Mary. We may not respect them anymore, but I'm appealing to you not to do that. We're going to leave all that aside. We want to feed our souls with what the Bible teaches us about this very, very special woman. We learn very valuable lessons from seeing God's choice of Mary and how she was willing to be part of God's eternal plan of salvation, of which she was going to be a key player, very crucial to God's plan of salvation. And we also need to emulate her humble response in that willingness to serve God in the greatest work of God. I just thought of Eve, and in my mind began to contrast Eve with Mary. If Eve is the first woman to let humanity down by listening to Satan's invitation to disobey God, Mary puts women back in the reckoning as important people to make themselves available to be used by God for eternal blessing. We know nothing about Mary. And God does not bother to say anything about her background. Even if you look at the genealogies in Matthew's Gospel and Luke's Gospel, the genealogy of Jesus is not concerned about Mary. Nothing is mentioned about what happened to her during Jesus' lifetime, except little snippets, very, very little. Or what happened to Mary after Jesus' death and resurrection, except that she was in the upper room in Acts chapter 1, and that's it. And yet she was chosen for such an elevated position. God did not see fit to make a big deal about her birth, her background, her origins, nor about her life or death. That's only for speculation. The epistles don't mention Mary. The scenes in the book of Revelation about heaven don't mention Mary. And yet she is the most important woman in human history. And as I ponder on that, in God's economy, in God's thinking, in God's purposes, Mary is not to take center stage in the whole drama of salvation. Jesus Christ is central. So to worship Mary as the mother of God and co-redemptrix, adding such nonsense and impossible bogus teaching that Mary was born sinless, or the immaculate conception of Mary and her assumption into heaven without dying, is not warranted by Bible teaching or emphasis. It's made up. These extra biblical and fraudulent teachings of the Roman Catholic Church must be debunked with no compunctions. Having said that, we don't Leave Mary out of the reckoning. She is the most important woman in human history. The angel Gabriel was sent by God to Nazareth in Galilee. Gabriel told Mary that the Holy Spirit would make her conceive God's Son in her womb while she was still a virgin. We're going to be looking at God's choice of Mary. And it is God's choice of Mary, because God chose Mary, that she is blessed. It's not she is blessed, therefore God chose her. God chose her, therefore she is blessed and favored. Mary, we're going to look at Mary's submission to God's challenging will. When you think of all the ramifications and implications of bearing in her womb the child, the Holy One, would be King of Israel, Messiah, the Savior of the world, and the shame it would bring to Mary for not being married to a man and yet getting pregnant. That's challenging. We're going to look at that. And we're going to look at the central focus for which God chose her and favored her and blessed her, and why she is blessed. So the favored Mary who is blessed, there are several verses in this passage. Luke chapter 1 verses 26 to verse 56. And all the verses that I'm going to pick out, and you can follow the outline, are verses that emphasize God's total and complete commitment to His purposes. God had a plan. God had a purpose. And God is totally committed to His purpose, His agenda, His plan. And Mary was going to fit into God's agenda. Mary had no agenda. Mary had no clue even, till it actually was told her. So it is not primarily about God favoring and blessing Mary. While that is true, God favored her and God blessed her in His choice of her. But it is primarily about what God was going to do. And what was God going to do through Mary? He was going to pour out what Ephesians chapter 2 says, His great mercy and love to save us from our sins. Gabriel emphasizes this. Look at verses 28 to 30. The angel came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." Mary is probably an unknown simple girl. We know nothing about her, as I've already said. We have no information about her. And if God had not chosen her from obscurity to be the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ, note I didn't say mother of God. She's not the mother of God, she's the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. If God had not chosen her for this, and who is this child to be born in her womb? He is the Lord of heaven and earth. He was to become a human mortal. God was going to take on flesh through her so that He could live a human life and die a human death God cannot die. He had to become a human being to die for our sins, so that we might be eternally saved when we turn away from our sins and trust in Him alone for salvation. Out of the blue, this heavenly being visits Mary, invades her privacy, and greets her. I don't think he was huge and shining brilliant and with wings. That's not what scared Mary. It's the sudden invasion of her privacy. She's not expecting it. And suddenly this total stranger, she doesn't know who he is. He says, "Greetings, O favored one. What are you doing in my house? Who are you?" Kind of. She doesn't express all her thoughts. But she hears him say, she's a favored one. And he hears her say, him say, the Lord is with you. Emmanuel. The angel said, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. Mary must have lived a life that made her an acceptable vessel for God to favor. God can use anyone. God used a donkey. Jesus said, if these people don't cry out and I tell them to shut up because you want them to shut up, remember Palm Sunday? These very stones will cry out. But that's not the norm for God. God uses available people, but God uses people who are living a life that pleases Him. And in a very unassuming way, not to merit favor with God, Mary must have lived a life that made her acceptable, an acceptable vessel for God to honor. Because that's what favor means. God is going to honor you. Turn to the second letter of Paul to Timothy in chapter 2. And as I read these verses, think about it. From verses 19 onwards of the second letter of the Apostle Paul to Timothy in the second chapter. But God's firm foundation stands, bearing the seal. The Lord knows those who are His. We believe in the doctrine of election. The Lord knows those who are His. But then, notice it goes on to say, let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. You can't live as you want. You can't live a life that is not pleasing God and think God can use you. We read further in that passage of the second letter of Paul to Timothy, verse 20. Now in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and clay, some for favorable or honorable use, and some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. And then it goes on in verse 21 with the so. Because this is true, this is how God operates. He wants you to set yourself apart for Him to use you. So flee youthful passions and run after righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord Jesus from a pure heart. Have nothing to do with not only all the things we think are sin, but also these sins, foolish, ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrels. Mary was a vessel for honorable use. Go back to Luke chapter 1 and turn with me to verses 42 and verse 45 and see that Elizabeth, her relative, emphasizes this favor of God and choice of God of Mary. As Mary enters her home, what does Elizabeth say? She exclaimed with a loud voice. She's not quiet. This is excitement. This is a loud voice. It's not just a shriek. It's a shout of joy. It's a shout of wonder and worship and excitement. Look what she says. Blessed are you among women. Elizabeth emphasizes that Mary is blessed. How blessed? Among women. What does it mean? You take women, and among all the women, she is right on top as far as God's favor is concerned. And blessed is the fruit of your womb. Who is Jesus? Elizabeth's statement cannot be understood less than this, that Mary was blessed of all women in all of human history. God put Mary on top of that list of all women in all human history. Look at the reason Elizabeth gives for Mary's being blessed. Verse 45. Why has God blessed Mary? Mary trusted God when, through Gabriel, she was informed that God's son would be conceived in a womb. She didn't question God, and she was not in any doubt. I mean, she had clarity when she was told. And we're going to see that more and more, especially when we come to her song, the Magnificat. She understood. And there's a reason why she understood what God was saying to her about what was going to happen to her and through her. She had clarity. She was no longer confused. And you know what Elizabeth is saying? Look at verse 45. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Blessed is she who believed. Translate that word with me. From believed to trusted. To a phrase, put her faith in. Abandoned herself to. Go back to the words of Gabriel, who had told Mary that she would not just conceive God's son, but that he would what? Rule over the house of David. Sit on the throne of David. Reign eternally. Do you pick those words up? That the angel Gabriel told Mary? And it all made sense to Mary. You know why? We are not told in black and white. It's not recorded for us. But as the angel was telling her about things that are written in the book of Isaiah, for instance. Yes? Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 9 prophesied about 700 years before it happened. Mary connects. What does it prove to us? Mary was an avid reader of her Bible. As a young child, she used to read the Bible and she knew it. Maybe she memorized it. And so when the angel is talking to her, and she's shocked that the angel Gabriel has come from heaven and is telling her all these absolutely perplexing things, she's connecting the dots. And what kind of things is she connecting? She's connecting the coming of Messiah. She's connecting in her mind with what she had read in her Bible, that Messiah is going to come and the kingdom of God is going to be established. And she's connecting in her mind that not only is Messiah going to come and establish the kingdom of God, but he is sitting on the throne of his father David forever in Jerusalem. She's connecting the millennium kingdom. She's connecting the second coming of Messiah. She's connecting the new heavens and the new earth. She's connecting end times. She's connecting the whole prophetic panorama. What a fantastic young girl this is, who knew so much. And she knew it just because she loved the Bible. And she was reading. And you can't read the Bible without getting excited about what the Bible says. And then longing for it to happen. And now the angel Gabriel is saying, you know, Mary, you're it. You're the favored one. The Lord is with you. And the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. And you're going to conceive Messiah in human flesh. What? No, no, Mary, don't be afraid. You are favored. And you are blessed to be chosen by God. When told that she had been chosen to be key to this plan, what did Mary do? No, 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 no. She said, how can it be? That is not a question of doubt. That's a question of, I'm a virgin. I mean, how is it possible for that to happen while I'm still a virgin? She's saying, this is humanly impossible. Tell me how it's going to happen. She's not saying, how can it be? I'm a virgin, there'll be so much shame. She's not saying that. The rest of her clarity when she says, here am I, let it be done to me according to your word, shows us that she's not any longer worried about the shame of society. She just called herself what? The female slave. I've abandoned my rights. I'm willing for God to take over my life. Elizabeth underlines this about Mary and says, you are blessed above all women. Mary believed God. Elizabeth recognized Mary, trusted God to fulfill his covenant promise made to Abraham. She'll bring it out in her Magnificat. Let's jump a little bit to verse 48, to what Mary herself emphasizes as she sings her Magnificat. Look at it in verse 48. What does she say? God has looked on the humble estate of his female slave. For behold, from now all generations shall call me blessed. I mean, just ponder on those words. What's she saying? I want you to consider Mary's deep insight. Young girl, simple girl, village belle. You can speculate about her age or being a village belle, but she's not stupid. She has deep insight into how God works. And even as she's hearing all this, and she's heard it, and she's accepted it, she sings the Magnificat, and in verse 48, you know what she's saying? She's acknowledging God's knowledge of her humble background. Look at it, verse 48. He has looked upon the humble estate of his slave. God knows who I am. See, I don't have to keep telling God, you know me, I mean, I'm nobody, I'm a worm, I'm stupid, I'm nothing, I don't have any capacity, I have no skills, I have no training, I never went to school, whatever else human beings bring up as excuses when God wants to use you, right? What does she say? Look at verse 48, please, again and again. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. She acknowledges, God chose me, even though I'm not really capable or of fitting into such a high and holy calling, to be the earthly mother of the incarnate Son of God. And Mary doesn't despise herself. You get it? She's not elevating herself either. She's just saying, God knows it. And God has chosen me. And she says, I accept it. I'm willing. I became willing. If you're reading your Bible, if you're walking with eagerness to know God more, God reveals himself to you progressively more and more, and God readies you to say yes. When you keep on questioning him and hesitating to come forward and say, okay, I'll do it. It doesn't matter about me. See, the focus is not on me, it's on God's choice. Are you getting it? If God says, you are the one I want to use, I don't have to tell God, God, do you know I'm not able to? God is saying, how stupid can you be? I know more than you know how incapable you are. And that's not the point. The point is, I want you. No, but why not somebody else better than me? God says, can you stop debating with me and just be available? And someone taught me very young, when I was very young, it's not your capability that God is looking for. It's your availability. Mary never, it's not recorded, spoke disparagingly about herself. She just willingly offered herself as the female slave of the Lord. Willing. Available. God, fulfill your purposes through me. There's a hymn we sing, an empty vessel you may freely fill. Make me a blessing. That's all that counts. The choice of God. Mary is often presented as simple, meek, and mild, profiling those who are spiritual, like Mary, as simple, meek, and mild is normal for us human species. We have grown to equate holiness with weakness. We profile holiness as weakness, as stupid, and as boring. That is not an I. In the story of Mary, there is not an iota of weakness or boredom in Mary's Magnificat. The energy of her purity of heart, mind, and will is that she unassumingly, look again at verse 48, says, "And from now on all generations shall call me blessed." You know, that's not prideful. That's unassuming acknowledgement of what God has done. Yes. He knows my humble estate, but from now, you know what it means? Every generation, each and every generation, from the time I'm singing this song, from the time God has chosen me to be the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ, every generation till Jesus Christ comes again and we all go to heaven, will address Mary as what? Blessed. Mary, you are blessed. It's not an adjective describing Mary, Blessed Virgin Mary. It's Mary is blessed by God. What a blessing to be chosen by God. No pride, no self-projection. God chose me and I've surrendered to His choice at whatever it takes, whatever cost I have to pay. All generations will call me blessed, specially favored. You know what? God chose me to fulfill what He had planned from the foundation of the world. What had He planned? To bring His Son into the world, to be your Savior and mine. In no way does what Mary say, all generations shall call me blessed, means that she should be elevated to a place of worship. That pedestal of worship is for Christ and Christ alone. In verse 52, you got verse 52? He has brought down the rulers from their thrones. He has exalted those who are humble. He has scattered the proud, verse 51, who are proud in the thoughts of their hearts. You know, Mary says this about humility much before God used Peter and James to speak about humility. You know, Peter and James both say, "Humble yourself before God and He will exalt you in due time." Mary said it first. She knew it experientially. What do we learn? Just walk humbly with God. We move on in this text of Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 56. To look at her free will submitted to be a vessel to be blessed. And please recognize this with me as the greatest submission in all of human history. We want to first look at verses 29 and 34 to see Mary's disorientation. Verse 29 says she was greatly perplexed or troubled, disturbed, disoriented at the saying of the angel Gabriel, "You're favored, you're blessed, the Lord is with thee." and she tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. You know, she's not thoughtless. She's not superficial. When she hears what the angel had to say, she ponders on it. She reflects on it. She engages her mind. She's cerebral about it, not just emotional about it. Spirituality doesn't make one stupid. It makes you actually pretty wise, wiser than most of your peers. You better believe it. You walk in accordance with what the Bible says, and your friends will say, "How did you get so intelligent?" And you have to say, "Just read the Bible." Mary had never seen an angel before. I hope you haven't. What does an angel look like? I don't know. Don't believe those wings and halos and whatever else, shining, sparkling stars and, you know, powder on the face. That's for our Christmas plays. Let's keep doing it. It's great. It's fun. The children enjoy it, even the adults enjoy it. Most likely he was not a huge creature with wings. And he says this, and she is so troubled. But the second thing that she's troubled about, look at verse 34, is about being a virgin and then getting pregnant. I mean, you're saying God is going to do this. How? It just disorientates me. It's perplexing. I can't figure it out. Mary, as I have already said, is not thinking of the shame. She's thinking about how is it going to happen. And for the satisfaction of Mary in verses 56 to 58. First of all, the angel Gabriel says, hey, you have a relative called Elizabeth, right? You know what happened to her, right? Obviously, Mary knew. They were close relatives. She loved her. And she had heard about that Zacharias, Elizabeth's husband, who was stuck drunk, dumb. And maybe he had written to Elizabeth saying, I'd seen an angel, and Elizabeth had told Mary, you know, strange things have happened to us. An angel came and said, we're going to get a son, and I'm really barren, and then suddenly I'm pregnant. And so the angel Gabriel tells Mary, remember Elizabeth? The impossible happened in Elizabeth's life. You know what I find in this about God? God is kind. God doesn't take you and say, I want to use you, you better be available or else I'm going to kill you. God's so kind. He's saying, Mary, remember Elizabeth? Did you think it was possible for Elizabeth? She's pregnant, barren woman, buddhi amma. Can you imagine an old lady? Now she's pregnant, 6 months. I mean, how big is she now? I mean, it's really happening. Mary said, strange, but true, I can't say. It can't happen. How can it be for me, was her question, right? I'm a virgin. It happened to Elizabeth. Not when she was a virgin, but when she was barren. While this begins to satisfy Mary's agitated heart and mind, look at what else the angel tells her. It's not about Elizabeth, it's about God. With God, nothing will be impossible. Are you hearing that? Through the corridors of history to you in your situation. Nothing. Now don't think, I want a Mercedes Benz and so nothing is impossible with God. I'll get a Mercedes. No, that's not what God is saying through the angel Gabriel to Mary. God is saying, I have a purpose, I have an agenda, I have a plan. And that plan to be fulfilled, nothing is impossible. And if I, the Lord God Almighty, have chosen you, Mary, as a virgin to be the vessel through whom the Holy Spirit will work and you will conceive and bear the incarnate Son of God, then nothing will thwart the plan of God. Can you hear any word in all this recorded true story where God through the angel Gabriel says, I challenge you, are you available? Are you available? Will you be willing? Will you be willing? No cajoling. No persuasion. Just kindness. You're favored. You're blessed. God has chosen you. Nothing is impossible with God. Immediately, spontaneously, wholeheartedly, Mary surrenders her will to God. And so can you. What an amazing story. It's true. We move on in the story. The focus of that blessing of Mary. Why is she blessed among all women? What elevates her? And the elevation is by God's initiative, by God's choice, God's election and purpose. It's the focus of the blessing. Verses 31 to 33, first of all. In this extremely high decibel drama that has eternal reverberations, Mary is not center stage. Messiah is. The Lord Jesus is. The cross. Calvary. My sin, your sin. But not even my sin and your sin. But the amazing love of God. You have to ask the question, how big is God's heart? How much does God love any human being? Peter said it this way, God does not desire any to perish. God wants every human being to turn to Christ. John put it this way, God so loved the world that he gave, that word gave is really he abandoned his son, so that whosoever will believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And Jesus stood there and he cried out, come, anyone who is tired of your life, are you fed up with your life, come to me and I will give you rest. God, who is rich in mercy, said the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 2. Even while we were dead in our trespasses and sins, he made us alive through his great mercy and abundant love, which he poured out in Jesus Christ. How much does God love you? This much. And he sent the angel Gabriel to Mary. And he said, you know, Mary, you are favored to bring, to be the entrance door for the incarnation, for Jesus to be born. You are blessed. He doesn't say, are you willing to be blessed? He says, you are favored. You are blessed. And God knew that she would open her heart and say, I surrender all. How will it be? Jesus, eternal divine King, verse 31 to 33, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Connect the dots, Mary, as I'm speaking. Yes, Jesus, Joshua, God saves, Yahweh saves. That's the meaning of Jesus, Joshua, Jehovah saves. Verse 32, and he will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. That's a title even in the Old Testament for divine deity, God himself. And the Lord God, Jehovah, will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Eternal kingdom. Jesus said what? The kingdom of heaven has come. Repent and believe the gospel. His forerunner John the Baptist had said the same thing. And then Jesus taught his disciples in the model prayer to also pray, thy kingdom come. The kingdom has come. In the hearts of all those who say, Jesus, be my king. Verse 35, and the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. See? He will overshadow you. He will just encompass you. And through the power of the Most High, overshadowing you, this child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Hearing those words of the angel Gabriel, you know what Mary's mind is doing? Getting her out of confusion and fear and perplexity. Ah, that's all in the Bible that I've been reading all these years. From my childhood till now, maybe she was just a teenager when all this was happening. The message to Mary is clear. She would conceive, not through a man, but through the workings of the Holy Spirit in her womb, miraculously, Messiah, the Savior of the world, the Savior, the Anointed One, the Desire of all nations, would be born. Mary's knowledge of the Old Testament is not being tested. Her understanding of the prophetic literature is not being tested. Mary is just being comforted and explained so that she can sensibly turn around and say, the implications are terrifying. But you know, in the terrifying implications, there is going to be so much blessing for how many people who are going to be in heaven forever and ever just because Mary said, I'm willing. This is the highest level of human willingness to surrender to God. But I want you to look at also John the Baptist in this story. Do you know John the Baptist is in this story? Turn to verse 39 and following. Jesus recognized by John the Baptist. Womb to womb recognition. Look at it. Verse 39 onwards. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town of Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, fetus John jumped up. Can you imagine? Elizabeth tells Mary, hey, my baby is excited about your baby. Leaped in her womb. Never think that the fetus is not alive and not a full human being. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and then said this. But did you see John the Baptist jumping for joy even before he's out? What recognition this is. Jesus is magnified in the Magnificat by Mary. Look at verse 46 first. Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." He's my Lord. And that word Lord and God in verse 46 and 47 can be used of God as well as of Jesus. And the word she uses is Kurios, sovereign, master. And there's only one response to anyone you address as your master and your Lord. You're a slave. You can't be a child of the master. You can only be a slave of a sovereign, a subject. Verse 49 to 51, "For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation." Are you seeing in the Magnificat that Mary has such a deep and profound understanding of the person of God? What does she say? Holy. Holy is his name. To whom is God merciful and extends his hand of mercy? To them who fear him throughout all generations. Verse 51, what is verse 51 show about Mary's knowledge of God and his word? "He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts." All down through Israel's history, she knew, right? Pharaoh, with mighty arm and outstretched arm, God had released and delivered the children of Israel through the Red Sea into the Promised Land, away from Egypt and slavery. And then through the captivity, down through all of Israel's history. And now she was recalling all that. Verse 53 and following. "He has filled the hungry with good things. The rich he has sent empty away. He has helped to serve in Israel in remembrance of his mercy." What is she remembering from her reading of the Bible? The covenant made to Abraham. Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 22. again and again to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, I will bless you. And through your seed, and in Romans chapter 4 and Galatians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul takes all that Old Testament covenants, promises of God, and he tells his readers in Rome and in Galatia, the seed is singular, the seed, not to seeds, but to seed. And that seed is Jesus. And Mary says, this is what God has done. She's singing the Magnificat. You know when? After she had said, I am the female slave of the Lord. I surrender myself to be the vessel. You chose me. I respond by saying, yes, Lord. Her knowledge of God, her knowledge of his word is amazing, to say the least. Her praise and song to God reveals a deep understanding of his holiness, his covenant promises, that he is an unfailing, faithful God who keeps his promises to Israel. Her knowledge of God's future plans of establishing the kingdom and Jesus ruling forever and ever is profound. This is the Mary whom God chose and says, what? You are favored. You are blessed. I am with you. And Jesus was born through her willingness. Is she blessed among all women? Don't be afraid to call her blessed. But then, remember, she is not mentioned beyond Luke chapter 1, really, and snippets here and there in every other gospel. This is the most that is said about Mary in any part of Holy Scripture. You know why? God says, I chose her, she's blessed among all women. But Jesus is the one who is the Savior. Jesus is the one who takes away your sin. He was born through Mary, but focus on Jesus. But will you be like Mary too? So that through you, Jesus will be known. We're into Christmas. And what better time than now to say, Lord, favor me, bless me to tell somebody today about Jesus. Bow with me in prayer. Our Father, we thank you so much for Mary. A willingness to just offer herself as your slave. And we come this morning, Lord, and thank you for her, because through her your son was born. And we have a savior from our sin. And how we thank you for Mary's willingness to be the channel of blessing for us. And as we think of those things, Lord, that went through Mary's heart and mind and her, the process through which she said okay to you, Lord, we come this Lord's Day and say, Lord, do to me, fulfill in me, make me a blessing, so that others see Jesus in me. And we would give you thanks in his precious name. Amen.